I don't know how long you've been ranting and raving about wanting to change the opening, but listen, things need to happen, man. I know we all love the zombie apocalypse question. I know we all get a big kick out of me losing my again and saying Dave smells like nougat. But find a replacement. Find me going ape at Ted Gregory, for Christ's sake. There's countless examples of me losing my mind, either laughing or yelling. There's examples of Dave losing his mind, of Andrew losing his mind.
Who is that?
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbrook.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Tonight, Andrew, it's just me and you, but before we start, we always need to remind the folks that we are sponsored by our friends at TickSplix, the official ticket provider of the Armchair Media Network. Unlike other ticket providers that sneak in extra fees and unexpected service charges, at TickSplix, the price you see is the price you pay. If you want your favorite player to get in his licks, maybe it's Hakeem Nicks, Akeem Hicks, or HaHa Clinton Dix, go to TickSplix and enter the code ARMCHAIR at checkout to receive 5% off your total ticket package. That's TIXBLITZ.com, promo code ARMCHAIR, TickSplix. Blitz, guaranteed seats, guaranteed emotions. Was I 2 of 4 for that one?
Oh my god, that was bad.
Whew. It gets poor. You would think after 4 weeks of doing this ad that I would get better, but I am like the Jean Baptiste of ads. I'm never getting any better, and it's just gonna keep on.
Oh, so good.
So no Kevin tonight. Dave is at dinner or a Mardi Gras parade or something, so it's just Andrew, me, the cat, and
my wife
yelling at the TV in the background. So, Andrew, we have not much Saints news to talk about. The only Saints news to talk about is the Saints discovered that Kurt Coleman is still alive and on their team, so they cut him. He played 3 more plays in the playoffs than me and you combined.
I was shocked to hear that stat. I would have thought it was more. I mean, I knew he was phased out, but I didn't realize it was 3 snaps.
I mean, they phased his ass out like fucking Milton in The Office, man. you know?
Moved into storage B.
You know, I mean, like.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah. I mean, Kurt Coleman, in all seriousness, like we talked about it on the podcast this morning, that if you donate $7 a month, you get the daily 7 minutes of Saints. You'd have heard it. You may have already heard it. But if you're not a subscriber and pay $7 a month, you should, because you get 4 extra week daily. You get the daily podcast 4 extra times a week. You should do it. Do it now. But so Andrew, like, it was like the Saints' biggest bust of the year. But I think the point that you made in our morning show is, like, that's pretty awesome when your biggest free agent bust of the year, like, doesn't even affect a goddamn thing.
Yeah, I mean, it really was the biggest bust of the offseason was Kurt Coleman. And, you know, really, they grossly overpaid for him. And then, you know, the safety market just kind of collapsed after they signed him. And then you look at, you know, there's a flip side of the coin, which is that Von Bill, I thought, had a very good season. And so there wasn't really a need for him. So, you know, part of it was maybe him being a bust, but part of it's also a guy maybe you weren't counting on as much, really, the lights coming on.
No, I mean, look, the safety market, it collapsed like a fucking internet stock in the 90s, man. Like, it collapsed faster than Netscape, you know? But the thing is,
Napster.
Oh, man, LimeWire. The good old days where you're downloading illegal Nine Inch Nails and pornography simultaneously to your computer, and you're getting songs and porn and spyware out the yin yang, and a virus that turns your monitor pink. Man, kids, you missed out in the early aughts.
Those were the good days. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the thing with the Saints is, like you said, that they they wanted to hedge on Von Bell because his second year, you know, it wasn't, you know, he didn't make that progress like a lot of players, right? You know, a lot of times we think, oh, a player did X his first year and he did X, so he'll increase, he'll get better in his second year. But a player's progression, it's not always like a straight line up to their peak. Sometimes it's like up, 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 down, up. And Von Bell is kind of, you know, he's kind of all over the place a little bit. And the Saints wanted to hedge their bets. And their pathway recently is they love fucking players from the NFC South. And Kirk Coleman fit the bill. But he was a guy. Can you remember him doing anything? Like, what's his highlight as a Saint? Like, I can't remember him doing a fucking thing. I mean, at least like C.J. Spiller, who was a bust. Like, he had the touchdown in overtime against Dallas. Like, Brandon Browner was tackling Saints dudes for friendly fire. You know, like even like horrible busts. Like
I feel like Brandon Browner had a pick, didn't he?
Yeah, Jarris Bird had.
He had the 2-pick game against the Bucks, right?
Yeah, and he had the fumble recovery, a big. He had a fumble recovery and a big play against when they had the comeback in Seattle. And he had the Benny Hill interception where it like hit him in the face mask and the Tennessee dude caught it and ran for a touchdown. But like Kurt Coleman, like I don't even have like bad memories of him. Like I can't even hate the dude. Like he wasn't even like the Saints just phased him out and you can't even be like he was fucking terrible. Like he was
a total non-factor, you know?
Yeah. It's like
he actually reminded me a lot of Roman Harper's second tour of duty.
That's a good description. Although
he was kind of the perfect replacement for, you know, the Roman Harper part two. It was like
Roman Harper only cost like the Saints carbon like minimum copy. Though, right? They didn't pay Roman Harper $6 million.
That's true.
Did they?
That's true.
And also, true. Didn't Roman Harper, like, they had so many injuries, like, he had to play, and and people got mad at him all over again, and they were like, oh, he's old, and he's terrible, he's still does all the things that we didn't like about him, and now he's old and does them worse.
Can we stop signing safeties that Carolina gets rid of now?
Yeah. That'd be, I think they just cut Captain Mutterlin. So
no, let's not go there. Especially since that's the guy that the Saints go after every time they play Carolina.
the biggest – we were going to have Kevin on tonight, and he was going to interrupt me and say, when can we start making fun of Robert Kraft for getting a happy ending? And here's the thing, man. When we do, like, show prep, we have, like, a group text and we're tuning in. Man – Dave was all about the Robert Kraft story. He was texting stories and highlighting stuff and circling it. Like Robert.
Well,
Kraft,
I can't believe it was the game day of the game.
Game day.
And he's in Florida.
It was game day. He went to the massage parlor in Jupiter, Florida. That's in a fucking strip mall, and he checked in at 11.
$100.
Got the rub and tug for $100 and was out by 11:15. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this, but I'm going to start here. That dude combined is worth like $4 billion. Don't billionaires have a super secret escort service they can use? And
you would think they have a
bat.
You would think they have a bat phone for the escort service.
Yeah, like I mean, the thing that he went to is terrible because it involved sex trafficking, which is women and underage girls possibly doing sex against their will, which is just terrible. But the thing is, like, he's a billionaire. Like, you would think he'd be, like, he'd have a fixer or something, like Ray Donovan or something, like a guy who could, like, get him, like, a prostitute or something. And it could be, like, 10 grand a night or something. Like, I don't know. He's worth fucking $4 billion. I mean, Jerry Jones probably called him up and was like, what the fuck are you doing, buddy?
He's like, hey, bro, you need some numbers?
I know a guy. Come to Fort Worth. We'll get you taken care of. You know? I mean, the thing is, like, it's great because...
I just can't believe, like, he's doing that for $100. You could go to Vegas that morning, still make it to Kansas City in time, spend $2,500 on like a primo escort, and then you don't have to worry about any of this stuff.
Yeah, like it's like what are you like? It's
like why is he skimping in Jupiter, Florida, spending $100?
Yeah, like that's like I don't even know like that what that would be. The equivalent of like, I guess that would be like the equivalent of me and you going to like, I don't even know like the shady parts of New Orleans. I don't want to name streets because people might live on the streets and be a paid patron. And I don't want to offend anybody, but people in New Orleans know the areas where you go to get hookers of your choice, and it's like $20 they get in the car and give you a handy, right? Like that's the equivalent of what Kraft did, man. It boggles my mind.
Oh no, it's worse than that. $20 for us, that is not $100 for him. It's worse.
It's worse. It's like a dollar, a 50.
Yeah, it's like a dollar. It's like a dollar.
You get what you pay for, man. I mean.
Although the dude's 77 and he was out of there in 15 minutes. I mean, that's $100 well spent if you think about it that way.
I mean,
yeah, I'm just saying.
I mean, you think like he couldn't have him come over to the house? Like he had to go there. They pulled him up in the Suburban. Like, and the thing is,
yeah, he's not married. He doesn't. His wife's been dead for 10 years, right?
Yeah, but he has a girlfriend. I thought. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know, man, but he's worth $4B. I'll tell you one thing. The Saints owner would never get caught doing that.
No.
Just saying.
No chance.
Because our owner's classy. So, here's the thing. Like, we don't have any Saints news to talk about, and there's really nothing going on. And me and Andrew... We'll start the Antonio Brown discussion. We'll bring that to Twitter maybe, but here's the thing that I wanted to talk to you about regarding the Saints, and we may do a mini podcast on it. But do you think? And I'm seeing this on Twitter. Like, I think the most contentious off-season topic with the Saints is Teddy Bridgewater. Like, I mention anything about Teddy Bridgewater on my personal account or the Saints Happy Hour. By the way, find us, search us, Saints Happy Hour podcast. Search it on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. You'll find us there. As soon as I get my video editing software, we'll get stuff posted to YouTube again. But Andrew, it's fucking contentious, and I know we've been over it a bunch of times, but are you surprised at how contentious the arguing is over keeping Teddy Bridgewater, signing him long term? Like, people are – it's contentious, and a lot of it is based on he sucked the final game, so he's terrible. I don't want him as the future Saints quarterback, which is insane. My thought process on that is if you want to argue for him or against him, we can do that. But to base it on the one game he played for the Saints, I think is crazy. But why do you think it's so fucking contentious over Teddy Bridgewater?
I totally agree with you that you cannot judge him based on that game. You can't. It's one game, and the two tackles were literally picked up off the street.
There'll be an AAF next year.
Yeah, he was forced to throw the ball to Michael Thomas to get that record as opposed to, like, running a real play, you know? So I just think you can't really base it on that. But if you can't base it on that, then what else can you base it on? You know, so I think it's a hot topic. It's a difficult situation because it's not like you can just say, okay, well, we're going to wipe that clean. We're going to give him a pass for that. But what else can you really point to? I mean, none of us were really watching the Jets in the preseason, right?
Well,
I know he did okay in those games, but like as a Saints fan, like I can't expect Saints fans to go out of their way to be watching Jets preseason.
I think the case for Teddy Bridgewater, if you wipe out the last game, is this. The Saints would say, we've seen him all year. We saw what he did in practice. We believe he's healthy. So we believe he's healthy, and we believe he can be a top 12 quarterback. And if he's a top 12 quarterback and we can sign him for 5 years, $80 million, and pay him $5 million this year, so it's really 4 years, $75 million, which is basically $19 million a year for 4 years. If you can get a top 12 quarterback for that, that is bargain basement fucking prices for a quarterback. And here's the thing with my thing with Teddy Bridgewater. If you don't want Teddy Bridgewater and you're like, hey, he wasn't that good at Minnesota, I'm still worried about his knee, I don't want him, I'm like, that's cool. But here's the thing. It's more likely than not that the Saints aren't going to have Drew Brees as the quarterback in 2020. So what's your alternative to Bridgewater? And the thing is, the Saints
– yeah, because the Saints aren't tanking this year.
Yeah, unless things go really, really wrong for the Saints, they're probably gonna still pick from like anywhere from 5 to 10, even if shit goes really wrong. So you're not getting the top quarterback, right? If you're picking 7, so 5 to 10, so
you will when you give up the 2020. You will when you give up the 2022 first round pick.
Yeah, but the problem with that is if teams above you need a quarterback, you almost – there's nothing you can bid to move them off it, right?
No, like that's true, yeah.
Like if the Saints pick sixth and the Saints pick sixth in 2020 and whatever two teams – say it's Arizona because they decide Rosen isn't any good and
The Giants
are like, they went one more year with Eli, and they're like, they're picking 1 and 2 or 1 and 3, and they're like, we need a quarterback. We like the two that are there. Then there's two really good ones. The Saints, you can't move them off, like, because once they decide that quarterback is their future, there's like nothing the Saints can offer them to move them off of that pick, right? So it just becomes the Saints become in a difficult spot, and that's why I think. To me, Bridgewater is the path, and I don't mind the commitment. I just find the vitriol on Twitter about Bridgewater very interesting. And I just think maybe – you know what maybe it is, Andrew? Quarterback is always contentious, and we haven't really had a quarterback debate in for the Saints since the Saints signed Brees, right? We haven't had a quarterback controversy or serious questions about it. And people love it, so they're just diving in with both – diving in head first to fucking argue about
my thing with Bridgewater. First of all, did you see that video of his one-handed interception of JT Barrett?
I did. Sean Payton was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what's going on out here? Yeah, I would give I would present that as evidence. I would present that in evidence as to why he looks pretty good to me. My main thing about Bridgewater is his knee. I actually liked him in Minnesota. I thought he was a pretty good quarterback, an ascending player, like good accuracy, showed some good things. So I'm inclined to believe, like, with more repetitions and more rhythm and more games where he's playing with actual weapons that teams have, that he'll still be good as long as he's healthy. And I thought he showed some athleticism in that start that he had. I thought, you know, obviously that interception he had was, I mean, he looked real athletic there. So I think the knee looks okay, and that's probably the most important thing for me. So that was enough to kind of convince me that he's a promising quarterback. I think the bottom line, Ralph, is the next guy, whoever it is not just like, even if you get Steve Young or Andrew Luck, like Steve Young, as great as he was not Joe Montana. And Andrew Luck is not Peyton Manning, as good as he is. And those are exciting players. Like, that's the best case scenario. Actually, the best case scenario is probably Aaron Rodgers replacing Brett Favre. But besides that, like, I just named like the three times it's happened where the backup, the replacement was even close to the Hall of Famer. Like every other time it's been Hall of Famer replaced by garbage. And who remembers who was after Steve Young? It was Steve Bono. And then it was Elvis Gerbach. Right. So like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
even if you go one more, it's like the guy after the guy after the guy is terrible. So like, we're not going to get Drew Brees again. Like, we need to get over that. We need to accept that. So like, if you can get a top 10, top 15 QB, that's a big deal for the Saints. And I think Bridgewater could be that.
If you told me that Bridgewater is going to be a top 14 quarterback, and it was, if you told me he's going to be the best he's going to be is the 7th rated quarterback, the lowest is he's going to be the 14th rated quarterback. That's all we're telling you. If I knew that information and I was the Saints, I would sign Teddy Bridgewater without knowing what Brees was going to do. I would just be like, we're signing him, and Drew, this is it for you. And
yeah,
move along.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're basically – like, that's better than Cam Newton. I would say that's like saying – I mean, who would be in that zone? I would say it's like saying you're basically guaranteeing me that I'd get Matt Stafford after Drew Brees, right?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, Matt Stafford, if you put him – I think if you put him with Sean Payton or Bill Belichick, I'm not saying that he would – he could – Sean Payton is so good, he could work with that. I think Stafford – he has limitations like everybody – most quarterbacks do that aren't just, like, Hall of Fame level. But you put him with a really good coach, and he'd be good. You know, Carson Palmer was kind of trash – Or up and down with Cincinnati, right? He got with Bruce Arians when he was broken down, right? When he was healthy, Bruce Arians got a lot out of him, and that's because Bruce Arians is a really good coach, and I think Sean Payton is a better coach than Arians, you know? I just think
we have to – no one can expect a Hall of Famer. It's the odds are stacked against the Saints getting even a top three quarterback. They don't fall off trees. If you can get a top 15 guy, that's a win. That will keep you competitive, and then you just have to hope that the guy progresses, that good coaching helps him improve, and that this roster is strong enough to support him. That's got to be the path after Brees.
Yeah, I mean, but it's going to be contentious. And you know what? Free agency is getting down to the nitty-gritty, and I think the Saints me and Andrew, we were doing the pre-planning meeting, you know, this weekend, and today we were trying to figure out, well, what four topics are we going to talk about for the daily podcast, which you should sign up for at $7. And, you know, I was throwing out topics, and you said, hey, let's leave one slot open because they're going to have breaking news, right? They got to do something. I think that was like a prayer from you just wanting something new to talk about. But the more I think about it, Andrew, like, they've got to do something. Like, they need – if they're going to try to make – even not even like a giant move, if they're just going to make a couple of moderate moves, they're going to need to clear up cap space. So that means they'll need to do something like extend Morsett, add dummy years to Brees, extend sign Ingram. Like, they're going to have to do something to create a little bit more cap space, I think. Is that
definitely?
So if I said to you, here's $50, go to Vegas and bet on the move that they would do to free up more cap space before March 13th. What move do you think it will be?
Well, the add dummy years to Brees is, I mean, they do that every year. So that's the obvious one to me. They'll basically lower his cap hit, and that gives them immediate relief, which should be significant and a no-brainer, in my opinion. The next guy for me is Morsett, and you do the same thing. And, you know, that allows you some cap flexibility. You could also do it in Armstead and Jordan, or guys you could manipulate with a little bit. You know, Jordan's probably a guy I try to maybe give him money now and reduce his cap number, knowing that he's going to be around. I'm not sure I mess with Armstead, you know, because obviously he's so banged up. You know, the last thing is, what are they going to do with Andres Pete? You know, he's at $10 million cap hit this year. So Pete's the one that really stands out to me because they can sign him long term. They could give him a 5-year deal and really reduce that number, or they could trade him.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I think my guess is they keep Pete and they lower his cap number significantly, and they do the Enron Mickey Loomis special with Drew Brees, where it's dummy years inside of voidable years inside of an Easter egg, and his cap number is like $8.20 when it's all done.
Yeah.
So look, I had a fun question, but Dave and Kevin aren't here, but we're going to do it anyway because we can't do it next week. Who would be the best Saints player to be a drunken Mardi Gras king in 2019? And I put way too much thought on this, but I forgot to email everybody. But my answer for who
Does it have to be a current Saint player?
It has to be a
current. Because Bobby Hebert is
he's too obvious, and he's like Hall of Fame, right? But because you want him to be a king of a parade, and you want him to be shit-faced during the parade and having fun. I thought about Sean Payton, but then I was like, nah, I don't think Sean Payton. My guy that I wanted is Thomas Morstead, because I think he's got the good guy image. But I think if you get him shit-faced, he would just start going off about the Minnesota Miracle, about how he had to go out there for the extra point, and how the refs fucked the Saints, and he's got the social media accounts, so he would be doing it live on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, and he could be – I don't think he'd be mean. I think he'd be a fun drunk screaming at the crowd, getting them to chant, "We got fucked," and all that. So my guy that I would want to see be drunken Mardi Gras King in 2019 was Thomas – my guy was Thomas Morstead, which was an out-of-the-box one.
My guy would be Taysom Hill because he's not allowed to drink.
That's a great choice.
And if New Orleans was able to kind of, sully Taysom Hill, you know, and basically make him question his own religion and become one of us because he loves New Orleans and the Saints so much, that would just be awesome. You know,
he'd be like,
even if it was just for one night, and then he was back to being Mormon. You know?
Yeah, like I could see Taysom Hill like in the middle of the parade, being shirtless in his boxers, holding a flambeau, and and he's only had like a beer and a half, right? I think that would be amazing. My second choice was Kamara because I think Kamara, he's just fun, but that dude looks like he knows how to party. Like,
yes.
Like, I don't think he's – like, it would take a lot to get him drunk. So you want people that, like, you think when they get drunk, they get a little loose, they get a little happy. I pick Morstead, but your choice of Taysom Hill, that's about as strong as it can get. All right, so before we get out of here, I got to get to the Saints Happy Hour questions, which, as Andrew would tell you, I forgot. Last week, Andrew, and we had to do a free podcast for the folks, which is free to everybody. Check it out. We answered a bunch of fun questions like, should the Saints sign more LSU players and all that. But before we get to that, I want to remind you about mybookie.com. Go to mybookie.com, and they will match your cash deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code HAPPY25 to activate this offer. They match it dollar for dollar and give you 25 more. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code HAPPY25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid. Restrictions apply. All right, Andrew, let's knock out these questions. This is from Chef Oubre, who is going to do a Drunk Saints History episode. We are planning them eventually. Andrew, can I just say this really – Andrew, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. I want to say, we've had the people that have won the Drunk History. We announced them, and I've had, of the five people that are going to do it, two of them have been like, Ralph, I need more time. I'm still sad about the NFC Championship game. And I'm like, you know, they're patrons. I'm not going to tell them
how
they support. They support the show. They're the $25 donation. They won the lottery. I'm like, take as much as you need. Maybe it'll heal you. But I got two of the five that are like, man, I need more time. I'm like, okay. I mean, so it's dark times out there, man. But he asked, who is your NFL team equivalent of the Game of Thrones factions? Belichick is Cersei, obviously, but who are the Saints? The Saints are the Starks.
You got, I don't watch that, so you got
to. The Saints are the Starks. The Starks are, like, so close to getting everything they want, but they always get fucked over, like the Red Wedding and different things. So I would say the Starks, although the Saints, the Starks are kind of honorable. Like, Ned was really honorable. The Saints get fucked over, but I wouldn't say the Saints, like, they get screwed over by the NFL, but the Saints are kind of arrogant and bend the rules and walk along the line of, like, what's legal, what's not. So I wouldn't say the Saints are as honorable as the Starks, but it's similar. Here's – do you watch The Bachelor?
No.
No. So, Balky
– absolutely not.
They say who wins The Bachelor. Andrew doesn't watch The Bachelor. My wife doesn't watch Bachelor. This is from Dylan.
No,
What happens first? Tom Brady retires or the Saints Happy Hour podcast changes the intro? Hey, Dylan. Maybe you need to start listening. We got a new fucking open the last 2 weeks, buddy. And it's supposed to be temporary, but it might be last a while.
Yeah, you need to get something new.
Then, I'm getting sicker by the minute, though, so it may be one more week. But we'll have a new one by the end of March. This is from Balky. Why does my 2-year-old want mommy to help him with everything except comb his hair? Only daddy is allowed to comb his hair. I don't know. My kid, he doesn't request special things from me, like changing and all that. But he does only request music when he's in the car with me. Like when he's with his mom, he doesn't request certain songs. Do your kids have certain things?
Yeah.
That they only, for you?
Absolutely. No, there's like, for example, when my daughter's in the car with my wife, she wants Taylor Swift. And when she's in the car with me, she knows like we listen to rock and roll. So she'll ask for a rock tune. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely, that's like that doesn't end, man. Like my son is 8 and my daughter is 5 and it only gets like your 2-year-old is only going to get double down on. There's stuff I do with mom. There's stuff I do with dad. And, yeah, that only gets more pronounced as you get older.
Well, here's the thing with my kid is that I refuse to play kid music in the car. So, like –
really?
There's none of it. No.
Yeah, I'm kind of similar. I have given in a few times, but for the most part, yeah, that's my wife's deal.
The downside – of no kid music in the car is my kid only likes me to play 3 songs and he requests them on a loop. He requests LSU, the fight song.
Yep.
But really, he only likes the first 35 seconds of the fight song. So when the first 35 seconds are over, he wants it again. He likes the Batman theme from The Dark Knight Returns. He likes the drums at the beginning. And his new favorite song is Frank Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon. And he knows the lyrics, so he sings it. So it's fucking adorable.
That's a brutal song to listen to a lot, though.
I mean, I love Frank Sinatra. So, but like the other day when I drove him, like we went to the restaurant and back. I heard it like 8 times. So I mean, it's a little bit excessive. Like I've come to appreciate the subtlety in Frank Sinatra Fly Me to the Moon. This is
It's for my son. It's Imagine Dragons. I was listening to that a ton in my car, and I mean, it's fine. It's better than most top 40 stuff, but I was pretty sick of it.
This is an interesting question. Thinking of the current Anthony Davis situation, who was a player that the fans desperately wanted off the Saints while he was still on the team? Brandon Browner doesn't count.
Jason David.
Yeah.
It's always a corner, isn't it? I mean, Aaron Brooks. Definitely Aaron Brooks.
Yeah, I mean, they were done with Aaron Brooks in 05.
But yeah, no, the vitriol, it's always a corner. It's like whatever guy is getting burned in the secondary is always who the fan base hates the most.
And every fan base has a dude that they hate.
Yeah.
You know, like if
I mean, maybe a shaky kicker,
Oh yeah,
but you know, Saints haven't had that in a while.
I'm trying to think. Probably Chip Lowmiller, man. People wanted his ass off the team. It's a long time ago.
I mean, Olindo Mare, remember
Olindo
him?
Olindo Mare, yeah.
Yeah.
Grammatica. Who was the kicker that they had from Wisconsin that he missed the kick? They dropped him in the ocean on the way back from London. Melhoff.
Oh, Taylor Melhoff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Taylor Melhoff.
That was a dude.
I'm trying to think if there's any, like... Yeah, see, it's never like an offensive lineman or a linebacker, you know.
Charles Brown. People wanted that dude off the team.
Yeah, he was disliked, yeah.
Yeah, he even broke Sean Payton. You know, that's – you said – and I know you're right. Usually it's not offensive lineman, but I would think the recent guy, he's a pretty good choice. So here's a
Tommy Lee Lewis is pretty hated.
Yeah, poor Tommy Lee. He's an iconic Saint now. This is from Saint James, and let's talk about, like, I think Tommy Lee Lewis is going to end up being one of the 10 most iconic Saints ever.
Yeah, I mean, he's
not
on the wrong side of that. Yeah, but I mean, you can't really blame him for how that all went down.
No,
I mean,
it's not his fault.
I mean, he did his job. He did his job there. You know, if anything, you know, he's a hero if that flag gets thrown, right?
Yeah.
So,
you know, but he's. I think he's going to be a top 10 all time known Saint that'll just roll off the tongue of people. This is from St. James. Is it possible Falcon fans are secretly on our side? Just when we get down as a franchise, they're always there to remind us as they suck so much more. By the way, Falcon fans were getting on Arthur Blank because he bought a $180 million yacht this week. Here's the thing about the Falcons, St. James. I believe they are on the precipice of being a complete and utter disaster and blowing that shit up. Because if they have another year of 7-9 and their defense is a train wreck, Dan Quinn is a defensive coach. And the thing is...
Well, he's their defensive coordinator this year. It's all on him now.
Yeah, the thing is, Sean Payton, even when the Saints were going 7-9, like... It wasn't because of the offense, which was his thing, right? We were like, you got to get a defensive coordinator. But the thing is for Dan Quinn, it's like if Atlanta will look at him and be like, dude, your defense sucks again. What is the point of having you fucking here? You're a defensive guy. And they will fire his ass to the fucking moon. So I think there's a non-zero chance that Atlanta's doing everything again.
I just love that they're wasting this Matt Ryan Julio window with a defensive coordinator as a coach. I love it.
I think their window. It was the Super Bowl year, the year after, and this past year, and I think it slammed shut. I think the same thing happened with the Saints, you know, 2017, 2018, and 2019, and then the window shuts because you have to start paying dudes.
Well, I'm just really glad that Kyle Shanahan's not their head coach.
Should the Saints trade for Rosen after the Cards draft Murray?
No. Absolutely not. Rosen is terrible.
Rosen is bad. He was bad. I mean, even by, like, when you, like, measure him versus other rookie quarterbacks, like, in history, he was bad. Now, the thing about...
Like, I get that some people might still believe in him, and, like, people can get better and all that, so, like, it's fine. But, like, all I've seen so far is that he's the worst quarterback in the league, by far.
The worst.
I mean, the worst. Like, worse than Josh Allen. Awful.
How much of... Rosen being terrible as compared to Goff can he be fixed like Goff was fixed by McVay? You know?
It's possible. I mean, the main thing of I think about Rosen coming out is that people kind of question how interested he was in football, like how seriously he took it. And, you know, that I think Goff had some similar concerns, but, like, man, all I know is every time I watched that guy play, I looked at a pretty talented roster. Now, granted, the offensive line was banged up, and offensively they didn't have a ton, but, like, Arizona's got some good players. That's not a team that should be going 3-10 with him as a starter. I mean, that's a team that should win more than three games based on the talent they have. And for them, I mean, for them to go 3-10 with him as a starter, that kind of says it all. Like, he's a total liability, and he's the reason they lost.
They are going to be so fun to watch this year, and not in a good way that they're going to be good, but they're going to have Kingsbury. And Cliff Kingsbury, that dude had
Baker. I think it's going to totally blow up in their face. I really do.
Dude, he had the NFL MVP and couldn't even get to bowls, dude. You know? Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, you make a good point, though, about Goff. I mean, Goff really was god-awful his first year. I mean, just awful. And then last year, the improvement was significant.
No,
I mean, he's gotten better every year.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, McVay, I know that we made fun of the Rams because they shit themselves in the Super Bowl, but McVay is a really good coach, and I think he's almost like the quarterback and the coach of that team because he has to, you know, Goff goes up and does the play clock, right, and McVay, he does the play early, and McVay tells him what it is before the 15 seconds, and then he runs the play how McVay tells him to run it. And he doesn't really ad-lib or do any of that. And the Patriots kind of had a game plan to fuck with Goff's head. And McVay couldn't figure it out because it's hard to be the coach and the quarterback. And it weirdly made me respect McVay more after that. But this wraps up this episode. We're out of questions. The last thing I want to say is... You know, we talk about free agency. We talk about this. We're gonna do more fun shows as we go along to get you ready for free agency. Give me a quick prediction, Andrew, of a guy of the Saints free agents that you are pretty sure is going to leave. That they're not gonna re-sign.
PJ Williams. I think he's a guy that just, you know, they can't really get rid of Patrick Robinson based on his contract. So he's coming back. I think he's kind of their nickel guy. And I just think PJ is a guy that based on his season, based on the way corners have been getting paid, he'll get overpaid and the Saints will let him walk.
I don't know, man. I want to say yes, just because they may let PJ walk in principle. I don't know, man. PJ's DUI makes me think that there's a more of a chance that he'll be back. My guy that I think is definitely going to leave, and it breaks my heart, is Okafor. I just think some team is going to look at him and be like, yeah, we'll give you $7 million a year for 3 years, Alex. Come on down. And the Saints are going to be like, dude, we're sorry. Thanks for the memories. But anyway, for Dave, who's at a dinner, for Kevin, who's MIA, for Andrew, thanks for supporting us. Do the $7 a month. It's awesome. You get extra shows. You should do it. So until next week, the bar is closed.